think one of the things you hear from people that's a little bit disingenuous is that, oh, if you just eat better, or if you just drink more water, or if you just wash your face, you know, like they try to make it seem so simple for these people that are really struggling with a very complex underlying disease. And, you know, it's not that simple.
Welcome to the No Cap Health Show, a podcast inspired by Dr. Brian Boxer Walkler's popular TikTok channel with over 3 million followers. Each week, Dr. Brian will pull the curtain back on viral TikTok health videos and label them as cap, false, or no cap, true. Even if you aren't on TikTok, now is the time to get on board, have fun, and join his podcast. Dr. Brian is a board-certified eye surgeon specializing in advanced LASIK, keratoconus, wider eyes, dry eyes, cataract surgery, and reading vision improvement at the Boxer Walkler Vision Institute in Beverly Hills, California. Also, please remember, Dr. Brian is a doctor, but he is not your doctor. He is here to provide general information, not medical advice. So you should always check with your doctor before relying on any information.
Hey, it's Dr. Brian. Welcome back to the No Cap Health Show. Happy that you're here. We've got a really great episode. We're off this week, so I've reached deep into the annals of the archives of the show. And today, we've got an awesome episode from last year. It's with my friend, derm doctor, Dr. Muneeb Shah. We had this incredible discussion about acne treatments, what's cap and what's not cap. So it's going to be a great replay of that episode. And if you heard it before, you're going to pick up new pearls because it just contained so much information. It was just like a sponge that was super saturated. So literally this episode was just like leaking with information, floweth over. So it's going to be two parts. So the week after will be part two. So enjoy this episode. And as always, feel free to tell your friends about the show. That's the best thanks for us in terms of showing your gratitude that you are enjoying the show and spreading the word. And of course, don't forget to leave a review as well. Let's get on with the episode. We're going to cover acne treatments. Now, there's a lot out there, and there's a lot of cap, and there's a lot of stuff that's not cap. So since we're in the midst of a cap pandemic, or capademic, if you will, I thought it would be really important to share some insights with what's true and what's not true. We have a very special guest on today's show. You know him as TikTok's derm doctor, but his real name is... Well, actually, that is his real name. On his birth certificate, his first name is Derm and his last name is Doctor. That's how committed he is to his profession. Just kidding. Dr. Muneeb Shah is in the house, everybody.
It was foreshadowing by my parents, you know, they knew. No.
Dr. Muneeb Shah is probably the most popular dermatologist on TikTok and literally one of the most popular doctors, period, on TikTok.
My name is Muneeb Shah. You know, I'm a dermatology resident practicing out of North Carolina, but you know, most of you just sort of see me in video format, you know, kind of pointing out words and debunking myths, very similar to Dr. Brian. So it's kind of a very good duo, I think, we're putting together here for you.
Yeah, this is going to be a lot of fun. Puts together such great information, and he's awesome at debunking and giving great insights to really help people with this information. So before we jump into this, Muneeb, maybe you can give a little bit of background about yourself, maybe not to the womb.
Yeah, you know, it all started basically pretty late, actually. You know, a lot of people know they want to go to med school when they're coming right out of high school. It took me a while, you know, a few years to sort of figure out what I wanted to do. And, you know, I basically started at a community college, as a matter of fact, and understood, like, just liking biology. And that sort of grew into a love of medicine and patients and seeing that clinical experience aspect where you get to treat patients and see them do better or sometimes see them do worse and be there for them as part of that struggle was really rewarding for me and has sort of grown into this love for patient care. And, you know, then eventually, you know, I applied to dermatology and matched into dermatology, began my training in dermatology. And then during COVID, basically had some extra free time that allowed me to use what I do in clinic, which is educate patients and actually educate medical students and educate kind of a larger mass of people that were interested in exactly the same topics. Because no matter where you are in the world, I've noticed that we all sort of struggle with the same issues. The same questions come up no matter what part of the world you're from. Questions about pores, questions about acne, questions about pigmentation, psoriasis, eczema. These topics are just so universal. The skin kind of brings us all together under one roof here. So, you know, during the pandemic, my accounts really blossomed and I was able to reach a lot of people, and it's been very rewarding for me.
And it's funny because the way I got into TikTok is the same way. It was last year during the pandemic. And my daughters who were on TikTok said, you know, Dad, there's some really good doctors, and named a few. You were one of them. And they said, you know, you should try getting on there because you're good at researching information and you're creative. So you can probably put stuff across in a really fun, unique, educational way. And that's how I got into it as well.
I love that. That's great. I didn't know that last time we spoke. You didn't tell me about that. So that's so funny. You know, you've really committed, because most of us are just using like a towel for our hair prop, but you've got all the way to a wig, which, I'll say that you've really taken it to the next level. The rest of us are really just kind of living in your world now.
Yeah, the wigs is something I have to say is really grown on me. I'm going to work with the wigs now, the long blonde. You know, they're like, Dr. Brian, I thought you were brunette. And I'm like, well, no, I'm just kidding. I don't work in the wigs. No, I don't show up like that. But I do have those cap hats. I had official cap hats made versus just the one where I have the rectangle that I drew cap on and just scotch taped it on. So yeah, I did commit. I figured if I'm going to go in, I'm all in.
There you go. And then you've done great with it.
Well, thank you. And you've been so supportive too, when my account was literally just didn't amount to more than a sneeze of followers. So thank you for all of your help along the way. I really appreciate it, Muneeb.
No, you earned it. Very well deserved. So funny seeing that we get tagged in the same video. So I can always rely on a cap icon from you in the comments section to just verify, you know, that you and I are on the same page, which is always nice before I duet a video.
And, you know, I do always take the time to research stuff, because I know you and I get tagged a lot and we want to make sure we're giving really good information and take the time to research it. Even if it's outside of our wheelhouse, we know how to research. We're doctors at the end of the day, and we can look up something that's way outside of what our specialty is and see if it's cap or not.
That's true. I think a lot of people think we're probably winging it, like, or there's not a lot that goes into this sort of behind the scenes, but there's actually a pretty thorough verification process that I do, even on a very simple duet, just to make sure the information I'm putting out there is accurate, fits with the picture of the video that I'm duetting, saying it's true or it's false. You know, you want to make sure you're putting out accurate information out there, because these platforms are built on trust, right? People tag us not because, you know, it's fun, but because they want to know whether something is something they should invest in or something they should believe. And so it's very important for us to give accurate information.
Well, let's dive into the video we're going to play today and discuss and hear what you have to say about this.
Okay, you're going to think I'm kidding, but did you know that if you leave raisins in water and then you drink that water on an empty stomach every day for 1 month, your pimples will actually disappear and your skin will glow? Because raisins are antioxidants and they work as blood purifiers.
I'm smiling ear to ear right now. You know, I did duet this video, but the reason why I'm smiling, looking back and not being able to see the video, but just hear the audio, is just the remarkable confidence that this statement is made with. It's just like, I don't know if I've ever reached that level of confidence yet in my career. You know, it's just the like, if you do this, it will do this. And because of this, like, it's such a clear and confident statement founded in very little.
So should I throw out my raisin water or should I keep using raisin water? I'm holding the basin as I'm hanging literally on every word you're saying right now.
So this is, as you know, cap. But, you know, there's actually some ancient traditions of people drinking water that with the dates in them. You know, it's kind of comes out of the Middle East, where people used to soak dates in water and drink that water, and it had some health benefits, they claimed. And so, but for the skin, of course, you know, no benefits. Antioxidants are sort of found in fruits and vegetables. And what do antioxidants do? Well, they try to prevent free radical damage, which comes in from environmental factors. It comes in from the sun. But just, you know, drinking some antioxidants is not really going to have a benefit on your acne or the inflammation that causes acne or the oil that causes acne or the bacteria that causes acne. So acne is a very complex pathogenesis that requires complex treatments. And I think this sort of simplifies something. Do I think it's harmful? I've seen a lot of harmful things on TikTok. So I prefer if people were drinking raisin water over putting very harsh exfoliating acids or crushing aspirin on their face. But, you know, I think that this is one of those that I call cap, but a harmless cap, let's say that.
Now let's back up why do people even get acne to begin with? Because when I was a kid, for example, I had porcelain skin and suddenly I hit my teenage years and I looked like a pizza. So why do people even get acne?
Yeah, similar to you, I struggled with acne. I had probably the worst acne of anybody in my family, and eventually grew out of it, fortunately, with actually a few interventions on my end. Just sort of grew out of it with, just using over-the-counter products, never saw a dermatologist. But why we get it, genetic components play a big role. And I think one of the things you hear from people that's a little bit disingenuous is that, if you just eat better, or if you just drink more water, or if you just wash your face, they try to make it seems so simple for these people that are really struggling with a very complex underlying disease. And, it's not that simple. Sometimes you do need treatments and you do need to do a lot of changes in your life. And sure, diet plays a role, lifestyle plays a role, but there are a lot of other factors. So the main things that cause acne, genetics, hormones, and those hormone levels that spike during puberty and during our teenage years, they stimulate the sebaceous glands or oil glands, and that produces more oil that causes plugging of the follicle. And then we also have our cells that are a little bit stickier during this time period, which end up clogging our pores. So the clogging of the pore plus the building up of oil leads to a lot of inflammation, bacteria overgrowth. There's a particular bacteria called C. acnes that builds up in the pore, and that basically causes an acne bump. And that acne bump can range from just like an open comedone, or which is just a little bump that with a little blackhead on it, or a closed comedone, which is a little whitehead, or something with a lot of inflammation under it, which is an inflammatory papule, or it can be very deep cystic acne that can be really, really painful. And so it's complex, but there's a lot of factors that play a role, and our treatments actually target a lot of these underlying causes.
Now, some people say that some foods, I know you said foods don't cause it, but some people feel pretty strongly that maybe chocolate triggers their acne or stress. Are there any foods where maybe it's not universally accepted as causing acne, but maybe for some people it might?
Ooh, this is such a good question that you bring up. And I've actually meant to elaborate on this recently.
Why, thank you, Dr. Shaw.
It's a good question because diet, I think, plays such a role. I really do look at the body like holistically. I know you specialize in ophthalmology and, you focus on the eyes, but we know that diabetes can manifest in the eyes, right? And, a lot of these areas, we look at doctors of skin, dermatology, and we look at doctors of eyes, ophthalmologists, but these are not isolated systems. Everything sort of works together. And so, your gut health and your overall diet does play a role, of course. And it's not well documented, right? We don't have a lot of scientific evidence that says this, stamp, this is exactly what happens with your diet, because we just don't have the good studies for it. But I truly believe in my heart of hearts that we need more data on these things. I do think they play a larger role than people would suggest. But what I can tell you is this, that one of the few things that have been proven to be associated with acne is skim milk, specifically, dairy and skim milk, high glycemic diets. So diets that are high in simple sugars can have an inflammatory role that contributes to acne. Some people say protein powders, like people that take protein supplements, and also vitamin B12. Those kind of four things are the things I say, okay, there's a pretty strong association with acne with these things. And then chocolate is sort of tween space, where initially we thought chocolate may cause acne, then a big study came out later on that says that it doesn't, but then a few smaller studies trickled in after that study, and it basically said that yes, it may cause acne in some people. You're really kind of going to know as soon as you eat the chocolate within a week whether or not you're going to be very sensitive. My conclusion basically came out of this quite simple, actually, that if you react to certain foods, if you find that you eat cashews and those cashews tend to cause you to break out, who am I to say, well, there's no data that it shows that? Well, you're an individual person. And I truly think we need to be listening. Physicians need to be listening more to their patients and what they're telling them, because you know your body better than I'll ever know your body. So I really do listen to what people say. And if they tell me that I eat chocolate and it causes me to break out, it's rude for me to say, nope, there's no data that show. So I tell people, if you find that something's breaking you out, then eliminate it from your diet. And if you find that you're not sure what's triggering it, do a food diary and just sort of see what potentially is flaring your acne. And then you can remove those things from your diet, as long as it doesn't limit your diet too much. So basically, I don't recommend that people become gluten-free or anything like that. But if you find that chocolate exacerbates your acne, I think it would be reasonable to limit your chocolate intake.
That's a great tip in terms of taking the time to do a food diary. You have your regular diary, like Dear Diary, and then it's like Dear Food Diary, and you start listing what you ate that day and seeing what your results on your face are, and then you can pinpoint if there are some foods that are perhaps the culprit.
Absolutely. Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
Mudeeb, what would you suggest as a very basic first time somebody's got acne for the first time, it's not that bad. What would you recommend people do at home?
That's a good question. So first, you know, make sure you have acne because not all bumps on the skin are acne. And it's the most common probably form of bumps on the skin, I would say. So, you know, 9 out of 10 times it's going to be acne, but just make sure you're treating the right thing. And there's basically over the counter about 4 foundational ingredients in the treatment of acne that are available to you. One is a retinoids, specifically adapalene seems to be the most effective over-the-counter option as an ingredient. And you can find this in La Roche-Posay products. You can find this in the Differin gel product. And you can also find this in the acne-free product. So this is actually going to go after almost all the causes of acne, as we talked about earlier, you know, oil production, stickiness of the skin cells, clogging of the pores, all these things, the inflammation aspect, you know, retinoids attack that and really bring down that process. They do take a little while to work, but very, very effective over-the-counter option. The next option that also has level one evidence is benzoyl peroxide, which you can find in your PanOxyl cleanser. You can find that in a CeraVe acne wash. And that has antibacterial properties. It really does help to get rid of the causes of acne. The third ingredient I would say is salicylic acid, which you can find in a lot of different products, cleansers, to leave-on products. Paula's Choice has a really famous viral TikTok product called the 2% BHA liquid exfoliant that's very effective for acne. And then the fourth ingredient, which is safe in pregnancy, is azelaic acid, which you can find in The Ordinary's product. Naturium has one, and so does Paula's Choice. And it's a very, very effective ingredient for acne and even hyperpigmentation. So those are the 4 ingredients that have the highest level of evidence in the treatment of acne over the counter. And actually, one of the fascinating things actually about TikTok recently, as I've noticed, and a lot of my colleagues have noticed as well, that people who are coming to see us in the office have already on a really good anti-acne regimen by the time they see us, which is really fascinating to me. I started my dermatology residency. People would come in with all kinds of, you know, we're using this toner and this and that and this more. And actually, over the last year, I've seen people come in using Differin gel. They're using CeraVe cleansers, CeraVe moisturizers, and they still have acne. But they've tried and exhausted a lot of the options that are available to us over the counter, which means that, you know, not just me, but a lot of other dermatologists, a lot of other skin influencers who actually put out really, really good, high-quality information have educated the public and totally shifted the narrative. And so by the time people reach us, we can already start to implement some of these prescription medications because we know they've tried and failed the over-the-counter options, and they already have a decent routine. So we can say, hey, you know, you want to add this, this, or this prescription-wise, and it really sets the ball running for us instead of having to teach people the basics of skincare. So I actually do think we're having a huge impact on these platforms. And so everything you do, not in vain, Dr. Brian, we really are reaching people in a meaningful way.
And that's really the main reason I'm on there is because I want to try to help people and just give good information, reliable information. So it's great to hear that you're seeing the results of these platforms helping to educate people and they're coming in already on a very good regimen. And if somebody, like you said, comes in, but yet they're not responding to these over-the-counters, what's your next step? Is there a next step or is it just people got to throw their hands up and say, I'm going to pound a chocolate for the next week because nothing works? Or should I be popping pimples? By the way, I have to totally admit in full disclosure, I was so guilty as a teenager of sitting in the mirror and just taking those whiteheads and shooting them and seeing them splatter on the mirror. I know that's totally disgusting, but I have to, in full disclosure, admit that I did that. I know it's bad. Popping pimples is bad, right?
I did it too. I did it too. You know, I did a lot of the things. A lot of the things that I say not to do is not to criticize people because they don't know not to do them. You know, as a matter of fact, it's really to give people the information that I didn't have as a teenager. Wish I had it, you know, so desperately. You know, even things from tanning, you know, I'm very critical of people using tanning booths, but you know, I went tanning over 100 times in tanning booths myself and has actually developed a skin cancer at the age of 32 as a result of it. You know, and I have a little bit of a darker skin tone, which, you know, makes it even less likely to happen, which means that the tanning beds really, really did contribute to that for me. So, you know, a lot of the things that I preach against is not to be critical of people, but to provide the education that I didn't have as a teenager about the proper products to use, about things not to do, things that would, I have some scars still from popping pimples. And so, you know, I make a joke about it and I try to make it relatable to people so that they have somebody that they can trust and rely on as far as, you know, someone they can trust on this platform. But really, it's not to be critical of people, but to provide them the education that I didn't have and wish I had. So yeah, pimples, popping pimples, not great for you.
Yeah, same thing. I didn't have the information. Like, nobody said back then to me as well, this is bad, you might get scars. And I have a few little scars. They're my, like, literally, quote unquote, the scars of teenagerhood. So, but now if somebody comes in, they've been on the regimen that you talked about, over-the-counter regimen, they still have got stubborn acne. When do you start going to prescriptions? What's the indication for Accutane or other prescription topical medications?
Yeah, this is, you know, very going to be a personal choice for a lot of people and going to depend on the dermatologist you see. But, you know, depending on what kind of acne you have, if you have acne at all when you come to see us, we will select a regimen that will be particularly tailored to your issues. So you may have just little bumps on the skin that are non-inflammatory, and we may just prescribe you a stronger retinoid that's a prescription retinoid. You may have more inflammatory acne where we need to prescribe topical antibiotics or oral antibiotics that are also very effective. And if all of those things fail, and if, you know, maybe you have more of hormonal acne that you see sort of in the 20s and 30s, particularly in females, in that group, you know, we may use something like spironolactone, which was historically a diuretic, but is, you know, found to be very helpful in hormonal acne or in adult acne. So, you know, we're going to tailor this very specific to the type of acne you have and what we think is going to be most effective for you. And sort of the big guns, the thing that really knocks down acne is, like, you know, the best thing you can use for acne is going to be, you know, Accutane, or it's not really called Accutane anymore. It's called isotretinoin because they took Accutane off the market. But basically, you know, we have all these different trade names of it, but it's still known as Accutane. I still refer to it as Accutane on social media, but is isotretinoin, in case anyone sort of globally is listening to this as well, because they don't call it Accutane overseas. But anyway, so very, very effective, but it's definitely going to be a very personalized conversation with your dermatologist and see if that's something that you want. You know, we go over the benefits, which are tremendous, you know, life-changing for people, Accutane. And then we go over the risks, which can include things from joint pains to headaches to mood changes, you know, liver enzyme elevations. And so we go over all these things that we do. And of course, birth defects, if people are not on birth control. So you definitely don't want to get pregnant while you're on Accutane. So all these things we take into account, we monitor them very closely. We check labs every month to make sure that everything is going well. We look at your lipid levels. We look at your liver enzymes. And usually, you know, 99% of the time, nothing goes wrong. All that happens is your skin gets much better and you're a little bit dry for a few months with dry skin. But basically, you know, it's outcome for a lot of people, life-changing for their confidence, their self-esteem, and their skin to prevent scarring. So one of the best things for me practicing is seeing the results of an Accutane patient and seeing how well they respond to therapy.
I had taken Accutane when I was in college, I remember, because I had this really stubborn acne. I don't think back then there was the plethora of these over-the-counter medications like the retinoids, et cetera. I remember it was just benzoyl peroxide, but I had taken Accutane and it had really cleared up in college. And I remember there was a possible side effect of maybe some joint changes. And I was on the rowing team and I never saw anything. I was always pulling on one side, but I never had anything like that. But I think that was maybe one of a possible side effect of the isotretinoin, something with the bones or joints changes.
Yeah, you know, you can get issues with just basically joint pain. And really, you know, the joint pain for people is more of like a debilitating pain that people experience. And a lot of these, you know, people are young teenagers that are extremely active. And so, you know, it's definitely something that we, you know, ask at every single follow-up appointment. One of the other concerns is that people develop headaches, which, you know, is a result of what we call pseudotumor cerebri or elevated intracranial hypertension that occurs due to increased pressure in the cerebral spinal fluid. It's all very fancy names, a way of saying that you can get headaches when you take Accutane as well. So, you know, all these things we monitor for them, and we may take you off Accutane altogether, or we may decrease the dose of Accutane depending on how you respond to it. But most people don't experience side effects, and it is something that sometimes is demonized on social media by people, but I think that most people do very, very well with it.
Dr. Shaw, derm doctor, and I had so much to talk about regarding acne. We literally just couldn't fit it all in this one episode. So next week's episode will be part two about acne treatments, including a very special lightning round of cap or no cap TikTok acne videos that will include chlorophyll and other things that you've seen on TikTok that have been supposedly effective for acne. Here's the no cap recap for today's episode. Number one, retinoids, including adapalene, can help with acne. Number two, socin benzoyl peroxide. Number three, salicylic acid. And number four, azelaic acid. And then also the dermatologist can look at prescribing, if indicated, isotretinoin, which is known in the U.S. as Accutane, and topical or oral antibiotics. And foods that can contribute to acne that have been proven: skim milk, high sugary foods, protein powder, and vitamin B12. And chocolate is more of an individual. If people are getting acne after chocolate, then that's a pretty strong suggestion in those people. If you have comments or suggestions, please send them to me through my Instagram account, which is Dr. Boxer Wachler. That's Dr. Boxer Wachler. And please keep tagging me on TikTok. So if you see something that's sus out there, which is pretty common, just tag me. I'll try to look at it and make comments or put it in one of the future episodes here. If you enjoyed this episode, the best thanks for me is to take a moment and rate the episode and leave a review at ratethispodcast.com/nocap. I'll be reading some of those reviews on future episodes. Thanks, and I will see you next week.
Thanks for listening to the No Cap Health Show. To review the show notes for this episode, which includes a summary, key takeaways, and any links mentioned, visit nocaphealthshow.com. Don't miss another episode and subscribe to the show on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you listen to podcasts. Also, make sure to follow Dr. Brian on TikTok at Brian Boxer Wachler, MD. And remember, Dr. Brian is a real doctor, but he is not your doctor. He is here to provide general information, not medical advice. So you should always check with your doctor before relying on any information.